Look what Jesus says. But of that day and hour, what? No one knows. No one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. I did some studying, and that phrase, no one knows, in the Greek, guess what it means? No one knows.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The message you're about to hear today is part of a series that's entitled, You Asked For It. I asked the church family at Holt Assembly of God to pick four topics they'd like to hear me preach and share from the Word of God. The first topic they selected were the events of the end time. In Revelation 22:17, Jesus said, Behold, I am coming quickly. Are you ready should the Lord make his return today? Would your family members be ready should the Lord make his return today? I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part four of the timeline.
Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 14 through 18. Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Today's message is the second part of our series entitled, You Asked For It. A couple weeks ago, I gave the congregation a survey and asked you to select four topics that you'd like to hear me to preach, to share from the pulpit. And as a result of those surveys, I selected the four most common topics. And the first of those was the end times, events concerning the end times. So last week began the series by sharing a message with you entitled The Timeline. So this morning what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of expand on last week's message. So this message is part two of the timeline. There is a timeline. There is a timeline communicated throughout the Word of God concerning the end. And our understanding of that timeline has an effect upon our worship. It has an effect upon our witness. It has an effect on how we approach the mission of God, and it affects our personal preparedness for the return of Jesus. This is what I want to do today. I want to ask you this question. Are we living in the last days? Are we living in the last days? Well, what does the Bible say about this subject? And if we look in Acts chapter 2, I think we'll see an answer to that. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. Verse 16, But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in what? In the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see dreams. Your old men shall dream dreams. I messed that up, didn't I? Your men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. I guess I'm dreaming more and I just want to be in that club. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. In what days? In the last days, that's correct. And they shall prophesy. After the resurrection of Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the first message of the New Testament church was preached on the day of Pentecost from the Apostle Peter. He selects a portion of Scripture from the Old Testament. Now, I don't know about you, he just didn't pick that out of the book. Peter preached the first message of the New Testament church, and he begins that message not by accident on Joel chapter 3, and that's a prophecy which speaks of activities that will occur, in the last days. It's by no accident that he selects that portion of Scripture. Look at 1 John 2:18, and if you don't want to turn there, it's okay, I'll have them up on the screen for you. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the what? The last hour. It's the last hour. And you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. All right, we're not talking about two different subjects here. Last hour, last days. It's the same thing we're talking about here, just different terminology. The Apostle John also identifies the time we are living in as the end. And in case you didn't know, we are living in the end times. In fact, we've been living in the end times for 2,000 years. Some people try to stand up and make a larger emphasis, but they make a big deal like it's some great revelation. Hey, Bubba, we've been living in the last days for 2,000 years. I mean, how do we know that? It's what the Bible tells us, not what some so-called prophet needs to tell us. We know that because we are living in the last days because God's Word says it. Are you following me? So you hear the terms last days, end times, last hours, whatever they might be. The Word of God already tells us this, that we're living in the last days. And we have to be careful that we don't get caught up in a bunch of religious rhetoric that some people like to use to cause animosity in the body of Christ and stir up problems, stir up turmoil when it comes to this subject of the end times. Some people like to stir things up for the purposes of selfish gain. Surely not, right? Surely not. Some of you are laughing already. Some of you are already getting images in your head of people who have done so. Concerning the return of Jesus, only God knows, hear me, only God knows when that event will occur, period. End of statement. Only God knows. No one knows the year, the month, the day, the hour of those, and those who otherwise claim to know are crazy, they're deceit, or they're just playing out charlatans, or they're all three. Look what Jesus says. But of that day and hour, what? No one knows. No one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. I did some studying, and that phrase, no one knows, in the Greek, guess what it means? No one knows. No one means no one. So if someone says, I know when Jesus is coming, I figured it out. Great revelation has been given to me. They're a liar. They're a false prophet, period. I don't care who they are. I don't care how many letters they got behind their name. I don't care how big their church is. I don't care what's going on in their church. If they claim to know when Jesus is coming, they're a false prophet. Anyone who says they know when Jesus is coming, I've cracked the code, I've figured it out. Well, listen, they're saying they're God. That's exactly what they're saying, because only the Word of God says only God knows. False prophets bring crisis, confusion, and animosity to the body of Christ. Look what the Apostle Paul writes concerning the coming of Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore comfort one another with these words. Don't stir up animosity, don't cause trouble, don't cause hoopla, don't cause hysteria. Bring comfort when you're communicating this. See, the coming of Jesus should comfort us. Paul admonishes us to comfort one another concerning the return of Jesus, the rapture of the church. When we share these events of Jesus' return in truth and in love, it should be comforting to one another. It should not cause anxiety. It should bring us comfort. Now listen, I understand this. If you're not saved, if you're not living for Jesus, if you're not right with God, then this may cause a little anxiety, this subject of the return of Jesus, correct? But for you and I, as the body of Christ, this subject should not cause anxiety amongst us. It should be comforting to one another. So when you have people that claim certain things, and listen, you can find them all over Facebook, internet prophets everywhere. This thing happens in the heavens. The moon is here. The sun is here. I don't know where the sun and moon is, to be honestly. I just know in daytime there's the sun, and at nighttime there's the moon. There's stars at night. I don't really care. They're not going to tell you anything. God knows that day, that hour, that time. Period. We need to be brave enough to say this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. We get chicken because we might cause problems. Listen, call a wolf a wolf. Call a false prophet a false prophet. We had a guy in our church years ago. I've talked about him before. He would say all the time, you know, the end is coming, the end is coming. Well, buddy, we've been living in the end for 2,000 years. I'm just waiting for Jesus to come. He's talking about signs. He's got newspaper clippings with him, a stack that'll be a foot deep. And look at this, and look at that, and look at this. I'm just looking for Jesus. That's all the Bible tells me to do, to be prepared for his coming. So we said, all right, Tom, if you believe Jesus is coming this day and he doesn't, we're going to stone you, because that's what the Bible says to do to prophets that are false. Well, I'm not a false prophet. Well, then don't name a day. Because you're not God. I understand it may cause anxiety if we're not ready for Jesus, if we're not ready for the coming of the Lord. But for those of us who are saved, we're born again, this should not cause anxiety amongst us. Beware of those who teach false doctrine, church. The Bible is very clear about this. Beware of those who teach false doctrine. The Bible simply says they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Doesn't matter how smooth they speak. Currently, on the timeline of eternity, we are living in the dispensation of grace, or also called the church age. It's not the difference. Some people call it the church age. Some people call it a dispensation of grace. It's the same period. It's the same time. We live on the timeline. And if you're looking at the timeline, I don't have marks on there because I don't want to get into all that. But there's a little arrow you see I have sticking up. That's representative of the rapture. The age behind that, the age we're living in, the time we're in right now is a time of grace. It's the church age. And before Jesus died on the cross, was raised from the dead, mankind was living in a different dispensation. Does anybody know what it was? The Old Testament, the law, correct? We lived under the dispensation of the law. Jesus died on the cross, gave his life, raised from the dead, sent the Holy Spirit. That ended that dispensation, and it started this dispensation. Are you following me? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus started a new dispensation, the one we're in. It's called grace, the church age. And likewise, the rapture of the church will end this age. This age will come to an end, and it will mark the beginning of the next period, which is where we start our timeline, when we're talking about the end of the end, so to speak. But just as there are differing views of the rapture, some people believe pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation, so are there people who have differing views concerning the tribulation. There are four predominant views, and I don't mean to be academic or boring, but you asked for it. Let's go through these just real quick. This will kind of help you identify where you stand. Obviously, I don't have to have my denomination to tell me this. I believe in the pre-trib rapture 100%. I don't think there's any other option, to be honest with you. But pre-tribulation rapture, that means the rapture, then the tribulation. All right, so let's look at the tribulation for just a moment. There are four views. Now, some of you may not even be aware of these views. Number one is the idealist view. The idealist view, or the spiritualist view, believes the tribulation as described in the book of Revelation, and remember, it's not Revelations, it's Revelation, is a general picture of an ongoing conflict between good and evil. Therefore, the tribulation exists throughout human history rather than 7 literal years. That's the idealistic view. All right, the historicist view says this, teaches that the revelation is a representation that presents the course of history from the apostles' life through the end of the age. The symbols of the apocalypse correspond to events of history, mainly in Western Europe, including the popes, the Protestant Reformation, the French Revolution, all these different events in Western Europe. Most interpreters place the events of their day in the last chapters of Revelation. The preterist view says this. This view believes that the prophecies of Matthew 24 and Revelation were fulfilled in the first century with the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. This view believes the events of the tribulation have no bearing upon us today because they've already occurred in the first century. Number four is the futurist view. This view teaches that all the events of Matthew 24, Revelation chapters 24 through 22 will occur in the future.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing and encouraging to you. The events of the end time should not cause us to be anxious as believers. Instead, the imminency of these great events should encourage us to ready ourselves and to ready others for the glorious return of our Savior. If you're in our area and you're looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. We have children's ministries available. Or you can join us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Again, I want to thank you for listening to this broadcast, and I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.